First reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you want to know what a church teaches, what a pastor believes, listen to the church or the pastor's funeral sermons. Because a funeral sermon is where the rubber meets the road. And many of you have heard, at this point in your life, many a funeral sermon, I am sure, not just here but elsewhere as well. You've likely heard a nice little funeral sermon about how what sorts of things in this life brought the deceased enjoyment in this life. Things like they like to hunt and fish, or maybe they like to play piano and sing, or quilt and play cards or bake, all these things. None of which are bad. These are all great things, right? This world, this life has many joys, and these are all first article gifts that the Lord gives to us. So there's nothing wrong with that. But if you hear such a sermon, and there is no Jesus, no crucified and risen Jesus Christ for the sake of sinners, then you know just how little that church or that pastor really extols or cherishes the work of Jesus Christ. You may have also heard a funeral sermon praising the person's good works. lauding themselves, focusing on the person's merits rather than Christ's merits. And then you're directed to place your hope in the chance that perhaps God will be merciful enough to this person and let them into the gates of heaven. So while Christ might be preached, it's not the full Christ. It's not the true Christ who atoned for the sins of the whole world, including this person. In either of those cases, you leave the funeral feeling quite empty and hopeless and sad. You see, without Jesus, we are hopeless. But with Jesus, we have a true and certain hope. You all know this. Romans 6 reminds us that the wages of sin is death, right? So death originally entered into the world through the result of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. That hasn't changed. All these years later, death is still the consequence of sin. Your sin, my sin, the world's sin. And that makes, because it is a consequence of sin, that makes death sad. It is unfortunate. It is a cruel fact of life. But it is a fact nonetheless. So there's a Latin phrase, memento mori. It simply means remember that you will die. I do got to throw a little caveat out here. A lot of pagans, in particular the Stoic philosophers, use this term. And that doesn't change the fact, though, that it is a wise thing to remember our own mortality. So it's a helpful term even for us Christians, right? Ash Wednesday, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return, right? Remember, one day you will die. Now, obviously, we don't want to become fascinated by it or spend all of this morbid fascination with our own mortality, our own death, to the point where that's all we think about or that's all we worry about and we can't function normally in life. Clearly, that is unhealthy and that is no good for anyone, right? You're not able to serve anyone in that case. On the other hand, we would be foolish if we never contemplate memento mori, that one day we will die. So this saying, memento mori, reminds us that life is a precious gift from our Father in heaven, but it is also fleeting, temporary. We only get one life, and we should live it wisely. As St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5, make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Yet death should never really be a surprise to any of us. Perhaps the how and the when, and that might shock us. We don't know those things, and when that happens, that might be a shock. But really, every time that we are sick, unfortunately quite a few children that didn't make it this morning to sing, my daughter included, because they're sick. Every time we are sick, memento mori. Every time we get injured, memento mori. Every time we feel aches and fatigue and pains, perhaps from working in the garden all yesterday, you're feeling achy, memento mori. Every time we see an ambulance fly by us when we're on the road, memento mori. Every time that the Lord shows us just how little control that we have, that we possess over our own lives, memento mori. More than any other people on this planet, the Christian is well aware that death someday will come. We know that one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be judged, and all of our worldly wealth, all of the prestige that so often we are just worried about, none of that is going to matter one bit. And as Christians, we can be at peace with that. Because we know, while we live in this world for a very short time, remembering that man is appointed to die once and after that comes eternal judgment, that ought to help us live wisely with our time, striving to do that which is truly good, right, and pleasing to our Father in heaven. And we have such a strong, vivid reminder of this at funerals. When one of our loved ones dies, expectedly, unexpectedly, young, old, ultimately doesn't matter. At a funeral, we come face to face with the sad, cruel fact that sin, and therefore death, is a reality. We realize that there is something that is not right about this world that we live in. There's something that is off, something corrupt and fallen and sinful about this world and about us too. There's clearly something, some great tribulation that our Lord Jesus had to come and save us from. So when it comes to funerals, some might be tempted to ignore that the wages of sin is death. Some might try to convince ourselves that it's really a celebration of life, that we can pretend to honor such a person by, I don't know, going out and drinking large quantities of Busch Light or however it is that we want to honor the person. Attempt to make light of death and light of the situation. But once again, where does that leave you? Empty, without hope. Nothing other than Jesus Christ is going to ease our sorrow and give us peace and joy and hope that endures into eternity. So this morning, we are celebrating All Saints' Day. That's right, I said celebrating. All Saints' Day is a day of joy, of peace, of happiness. Well, you might be wondering at this time, so far I haven't heard anything about that. I've been hearing death and sin and sadness. Please, can we just stick to that stuff about joy and peace and happiness? Well, dear saints, if the disease is not properly diagnosed, then the right medicine can't be administered. And then healing, proper healing, cannot occur. So if you go your whole life never contemplating that the wages of sin is death, never realizing the true depth of your own sinful condition, then your Savior, your joy, your celebration is actually quite insignificant, puny. Your celebration is quite lame in that case. It's devoid of any real joy, real hope. So this morning, let's not shy away from calling a thing what it is. Let's call death what God calls it. It is our last enemy. Enemy that needs to be defeated. It is the consequence of sin. It is a symptom of our dreaded disease of sin. And this disease is widespread. It's affecting all of us far deeper than we can imagine. It's a disease that no doctor can cure, no pill is going to solve, no psychologist can work you out of. It's a fatal disease that causes us to die eternally. Unless God does something about it. Unless God decides to defeat our last enemy and to save us. Unless he decides to undo the consequences of sin, death, and the devil, giving us eternal life. Unless he, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the human flesh, takes on death himself, laying down his life, only to pick it back up again, to rise from the dead, and destroy death for us. You see, Jesus knew our helpless state. And so he acted. He did it. He willingly took upon himself all the symptoms of our sin. He stood in the place, in our place, and endured the greatest tribulation, death on a cross. Jesus took it. He took all of our weaknesses, all of our sin, all of our hunger, all of our disease, all of our pain, all of our thirst, and he conquered it, all of it. He even conquered death itself. The grave could not hold him. It burst forth. It spit him out. Death's tomb could not hold him. And he rises then with all of the glory that he had with the Father in heaven from the foundation of the world. Victory. Victory. There is your celebration, you see. Jesus. And Jesus did it. Without Jesus, we are hopeless. But with Jesus, we have a true and certain hope. There is your hope, dear saints, in Jesus Christ. Out of pure grace through faith in Jesus, He has handed you his victory, just as he has done for all of our loved ones who are now rejoicing with him in heaven. You are victorious in Jesus Christ. Your victory is right now. You have it now. The robe that covers you, it covers you at this very moment. You might not be able to see it, but it covers you. You have it now. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and your robe is shining bright and white and glorious, even now. As John says in the epistle, beloved, we are God's children now. And so we are, he says, now. One day, not yet, but one day, someday in the not too distant future, our Lord will usher you through death, and he will take you to be with him in heaven. Memento mori. It's not morbid. It's a good thing. For the time is soon coming when you will be reunited with those saints who have gone before you, where you will be one of those dressed in those white robes so all can see and worship the Lord as you wait with them for that glorious day, the final day, resurrection day, where you shall see him as he is and you shall be like him. There is your hope. There is your celebration. There is your joy, your peace, your happiness. And you have it all right now. He did it. He has given it all to you. So as we celebrate All Saints Day, we thank God and we recognize God for, thank God and we recognize the saints who have gone before us, all believers in Jesus Christ, that's who the saints are, who have died in the faith and now rest from their labors. These are the ones Revelation 7 talks about. They've come out now of the great tribulation. They are before the throne room of God. They are wrapped in robes washed with the blood of Lamb, and God has wiped away every tear from their eyes. Beautiful. But we also celebrate this morning, and we give thanks to God this morning that he has made us saints too, right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.